Want to find a way to give back this holiday season, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. It's easy. Instead of wasting time and money on gifts that nobody wants or needs, help your friends and family give back and give to something good, something meaningful. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for a friend or family member, a cause, or an organization. Help out the local animal shelter. Get that little lending library up and running. Just make your world a better place. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. 'Tis the season for giving back, and giving feels good. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
And hope and love. Where do I find it in this crazy old world?
I need strategies, strategies for the radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for the radio. Every time I listen, Lauren and David share strategies for living, and it makes me aware.
I got strategies for living radio.
Yeah, we need those strategies, don't we? Those strategies for living. Are you ready? You ready for your daily dose of radio rehab?
You know, I thought I was ready, and then you dragged this life strategist in on us.
So yeah, yeah, yeah.
I better get ready.
Yeah, you better get ready.
Hi, guys.
Hey, folks. Welcome into Strategies for Living. I'm Dr. David McMillan, and you've heard Lauren Leon McMillan, psychotherapist, PLPC, and
PLPC.
Jay Merle.
PLPC.
That's what I thought. I thought we could say that. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
You know? The long and winding road. They don't let us do that. The station manager is calling right now saying stop.
Copyright. Yeah, or something.
Or something like that. You know, Carl Jung said, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will control you and you will call it fate.
Right.
No such thing.
Carl Jung, he wasn't talking about horoscopes.
No.
Although
he did stretch into some
At
the time what was considered kind of perhaps even woo-woo at the time.
But time has proven that Dr. Jung knew a thing or two. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk today about six dangerous types of people that Carl Jung said you have to avoid, because what you tolerate teaches others how to treat you.
Right.
So there you go. I think we've got a program packed full today.
I think we do. Everybody should listen up. You might have somebody in your life that's a Joyce dealer or something else.
You never know.
Yeah.
Folks, we appreciate you being here with us on Strategies for Living, and we appreciate our sponsors making it possible. the Robinson Film Center, and Azalea Cleaners, and Pintail Roofing.
Roof, roof.
And Learning RX, and the Balanced Life Wellness Center, and Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, Alligator Italian Sausage, and some pretty good Muffies, too. Back in a moment. Six dangerous people Carl Jung says we need to stay away from. That's today on Strategies for Living. Into Strategies for Living Radio with Lauren and Jay and David. We are glad that you are with us talking today about Carl Jung and his wonderful work. You know, what he said was, until you make the unconscious conscious, it'll control you. You'll call it fate, but it'll control you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was telling us that if we don't take the moments, if we don't take the time to observe what is manifesting in our lives, then you will spend most of our life wondering why things have happened.
Yeah,
you know,
sort of the idea that life happens to me,
right? Yeah,
and
instead
and
of for me,
yeah, right? Instead yeah. of recognizing that I'm the vehicle through which life can happen.
And you know, Carl Jung did not leave a checklist, if you will. But if you read a lot of his work, mm-hmm. And you know, I know that the two of you have probably read a thing or two, recently about Jung here and there. That you can really kind of break down into six categories, if you will. Six categories that you may want to stop giving the benefit of the doubt to. And so we'll talk about individuals that you may want to beware of, types of individuals.
I'm being real picky here.
Okay.
Can we change that maybe from individuals to, let's use a good Jung term, archetype?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I
like
that.
I really don't like the idea of kind of plastering an entire individual as toxic or not good, right? And I mean, if we replace that with archetype, that means that we can also find these traits within ourselves as well.
Okay.
And it doesn't mean that we're bad or
right.
not good as a whole. It just means, oh, that's a warning sign if I see this archetype within me emerging,
right?
Perhaps
I like that. I like that, and I think Dr. Jung would give you
approve.
A gold star. I think he,
I think he would.
I think he would approve. Well, one of the first categories, I guess, archetypes, if you will, mm-hmm. are individuals who tend to play the victim.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking about just people who are suffering. You know.
No, because life
is,
does happen.
Life is difficult.
Bad things,
yeah.
unfortunate things do happen.
Yeah.
But it's about, you know, how are you choosing to respond to that?
So what perhaps we're referring to are the ones that turn things around and, you know, from how they were treated every single time and make it about them.
Yeah.
Poor me, right? Poor, pitiful me.
Yeah.
Um,
You know, that's a terrible way to live.
Yeah, yeah. They, you know, they never seem to strike the matches, but oddly enough, they sit in the ashes.
That's a good way.
And
to
if you're
it.
If you're playing the victim constantly, doesn't that kind of remove the responsibility for examining your own behavior and your contribution to the situation?
Absolutely. I think that's right on target.
Well, and it removes freedom. It removes your own personal power and freedom.
Yeah.
But you said it better, but I was trying to say that.
Well, I think they go hand in hand. No, I think it's both.
And you know, people who do this, it can be exhausting. You know, you start handling their emotions as if it's your part-time job. I mean, in other words, you know, we talk about the victim triangle, right?
Right. There it is.
And you can look this concept. There's a lot on it online. The victim's triangle. It's also called Cartman's triangle. It could be called the victim's trap. Drama triangle.
Yeah.
But basically, it's getting caught in this triangle where on one point, victim is located. On another point, rescuer is located. And on the third point of the triangle, perpetrator perpetrator or persecutor is located. And the trap is just exactly what Dr. Jung was referring to was we get unconsciously caught.
Yeah, you get hooked real quick.
You get hooked very quickly into that triangle. And you, of course.
And it becomes a wheel, doesn't it? It becomes a hamster wheel once you get on it.
It truly does. It truly does. And it's like you don't even, again, talk about making it, you know, making the unconscious conscious. Mm. We don't even know we're doing it. We don't even know we're in the trap, right?
No.
And
because we see it play out in all forms. And if you watch any sort of media or television, you're going to see the drama triangle unfold before you. And so it's almost like the fish in water analogy. We don't even know until we step back and look at it for what it is.
And you know, our egos are almost, I'm going to use the word, addicted to this.
Sure.
I mean, we're pulled into it. I mean, how many movies, how many reads? I mean, this is summertime, so a lot of people are finding their beach read, right? How many reads do we find that have as the hook the victim triangle, if you will? You know, somebody hapless.
It could be reframed as a lover's triangle, right?
Sure.
It's reframed many different ways.
The hapless victim and, you know, Prince Charming or Princess Charming coming to the rescue. And, of course, if you've got the victim and you've got the rescuer, you also have that dun-dun-dun-dun.
Perpetrator.
The perpetrator, exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, our ego self loves the juice of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think it pervades all the areas of our life.
Yeah,
and we're not even aware of it.
I can't think of one where it hasn't touched.
Right.
Yeah.
And I you know, it plays out in our politics, it plays out in religious communities, it plays out in families,
in books and movies, within friendships.
Yeah. And
okay, so how do we break this cycle?
Well, to mainly be aware.
Okay.
Mainly it is.
You see it. Oh, I know what this is. Yeah. I'm not going to play that.
It takes the fun out of it when you recognize, you know, that they're playing the victim and I'm being sucked into playing the rescuer. As long as you can label that in your head, it begins slowly to take the juice out of the game.
Right. And in no way, shape, or form are we saying, you know, don't help people.
Right. No.
You know.
No.
But again, am I compelled to always, you know, go into the rescue? Even
right. And am I doing something for them that they could do for themselves?
There you go. Yeah. There are people that could fix things themselves if they could exercise a little honesty with themselves.
Yes. Yes.
And sometimes maybe counselors can help them look at it in such a way that that might reveal to them that, you know, oh, wait, yeah, I'm doing this, and I probably don't need to do that that way.
That'd be one of the ideas of going and spending a little time with a good counselor.
Yeah. And, I mean, this starts so early and so innocently. I mean, we do it with our kids, and we don't even think anything of it. They're trying desperately to open a chip bag.
Right.
And we just take it from them and open it.
Right.
And, you know, and even that small movement. And we think it's helpful.
Right.
You know, but it unconsciously tells the kid,
you can't do this.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
And you need a rescuer.
And that's because we get in a hurry.
Yep. Yeah.
So one of the things that I learned about, our daughter went to the Montessori school for Shreveport.
Okay.
Good school.
Yep.
Yeah. One of the things that they encouraged at the Montessori school for Shreveport was let them do it.
Yep.
Now it's going to take longer.
Yep.
Yeah.
For them to do it, but forbear, be patient, let them do it.
That's one beautiful thing about the Montessori method is that the child comes along at their own pace.
A lot of times, you know, and I've been guilty of this with my, young people.
Sure.
Jump in there and get it done.
Yeah.
Because
we got to go. We got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Bad idea. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Let them do it.
Because,
you
know, that's part of the process to not only learn, but to learn that you can learn and to learn that you are capable.
And to learn to struggle and to learn to sit with some discomfort.
Right.
And that's the piece where the parents and somebody else can help, is to be able to say, I'll sit here in the discomfort with you.
There you go.
And I'll be here with you.
There you go.
But I know you can do it.
Yeah. I think that one of the things we were talking about, pain and suffering earlier, you know, I think we live in a world that is painful, but I think suffering may be optional.
I agree.
And again, I don't think we can get away from pain. But a lot of suffering is really equal to resistance. And this kind of feeds into what we're talking about here. I tell myself, oh, this should not be happening. Where, you know, if I don't resist whatever it is that's happening, if I just accept, okay, this is happening, now what?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I begin then to figure out, instead of looking around for,
it's easy to be a victim when a lot of it's Monday. Oh my gosh, what's going on?
Yeah.
It's all coming in. Oh, poor me.
I gotta look for a rescuer. Somebody take me away.
Take away this cup.
Calgon, take me away. we're talking about people to stay away from today, according to Carl Jung, I think all three of us. For all three of us, Dr. Jung is a hero.
Yes.
And so we're talking about that today here on Strategies for Living. We've got more of those folks that we need to stay away from as Strategies for Living rolls on. Stay with us. Be right back.
Facing the same old problems day to day makes you more hard to get away. Looking for the road that'll get me there. Looking for hope and peace to spare. Looking for strategies. Strategies for living radio. Your dose of radio rehab. Strategies for living radio.
Yeah, you found those strategies. Strategies for living. With Lauren Leon McMillan and Jay Merle, David McMillan. Talking about people that Carl Jung actually...
Archetypes. Thank you.
Types of people that Carl Jung would have said, hey, stay away from. Another type would be people who attribute others for their problems. People who attribute others for their...
Difficulties.
For their difficulties or problems. And then this is... Kind
this
of
a
close
variation.
Kin to the last one we talked about.
Yeah.
It's a little louder, a little bit more aggressive, a little bit less self-aware, you know, perhaps. Every failed job was because the boss had it out for them.
Right.
Boss after boss after boss. And they were all due to the other being, all of the failed relationships perhaps were due to, I just kept picking toxic relationships, you know?
Mm-hmm. Always outside.
Yeah. And they don't just avoid responsibility. They seem to be allergic to responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't punch no doggy.
Yeah. You know, and you try to suggest that, maybe they need to look in the mirror because maybe they're the common denominator for all
that
of these
so
things.
So hard
it
to
is.
Do.
It is. Yeah, it is.
My life's a wreck. I don't understand. I'm not happy. My failed relationships. And I just tried and tried and just can't seem to connect with anybody.
You know, here's the deal. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. That's just part of life, right?
Sure.
But if someone won't take responsibility,
there's not a lot of hope.
There really isn't.
No, you can't change anything if you're not willing to take up the power and be able to respond.
Yeah, and you know, we've said this before, but responsibility, when you break down that word,
right.
It really breaks down into the ability to respond. Mm-hmm. So whatever the issue, if I continue to accept my responsibility, then I've got power. You know, now it may not turn out the way every situation or circumstance, you know, may not turn out the way that. But there's hope.
Right. I mean, mm-hmm. That's the first step in any sort of pathway in a positive way forward is to admit that, you know, look in the mirror and there's the problem.
Right.
That's hard. That's hard to do.
It is hard.
The older we get, the harder it is.
Yep. Yep.
Perhaps so. Yeah. I mean, it's the idea that all of life that I live and experience through me. And so that's where it comes down to recognizing that, you know, it can't be anybody else out there because anywhere I go, there I am.
Yeah.
It's the old finger pointing rule. You know, if you're
pointing a finger out there, so there's three of them pointing back at you. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I guess the pain gets so intense that a person becomes willing.
That's the hope.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and again, that's part of, we were talking about the 12 steps. That's part of the whole deal, you know. The first step is kind of a step of surrender.
We were powerless over filling the blank.
Yeah.
And my life was just a mess.
Right. And so, you know, when you take that first step, it opens up a pathway.
Yeah.
It opens up a tremendous pathway that otherwise, I mean, I fight and I fight and I fight. And we were talking a second ago about suffering. That's the resistance, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the pain's going to come. Pain comes with life. Right. You know, life and pain are synonymous things. I mean, to live in this world
is to have,
and to live in a human body is
suffering.
Is going to have
pain and pleasure,
but pain and pleasure, but if I deny that. Okay, well, I'm not, you know, pain is not supposed to be mine.
If you deny either of those, if you deny pain or pleasure,
then I'm going to create
suffering.
You're
out of balance.
Yeah, exactly.
Balance.
Exactly.
Got to have balance.
Got to have it.
Absolutely.
Got to have it. Another thing is individuals who, I call this, we'll go with this, how about the Eddie Haskell archetype? And you know,
that might go over some people's heads.
Yeah, because
Mrs. Cleaver.
That's it.
How are? Isn't your hair nice today,
Eddie Haskell?
Okay.
If you ever watched Leave It to Beaver,
yeah, I did.
And the character Eddie Haskell was exactly what Jay is portraying.
Brown noser.
Yep. Gotcha. And it didn't matter. These are individuals who are super polite. To get what they want, get what they desire. Now, you know, what we got to understand is there are nice people in the world, but not everybody that is smiling in your face and nice to you is your friend.
It might be phony.
Yeah.
Inauthentic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Inauthentic. I like that. That's
it's disingenuous and okay. phony. Yeah. yeah. I like them. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, well, the truth kind of comes out. When and if you say no to people who mm-hmm. might ask for a little favor, you know, here and there.
Nice after that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then you may see the real,
mask is off.
The mask is off. So yeah.
And so I guess what that comes from is almost a place of entitlement. Like
it's a method of manipulation.
Yeah.
That's worked for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it doesn't work on some people.
Yeah.
And then they get a little grumpy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think our world today is largely, kind of based on this pseudo niceties, if you will.
Yeah. It's coming from a place of seeing life as an exchange.
Transactional.
Yeah. Thank you. That's the word, Jay. Yeah. Yeah, a transactional experience.
Yeah.
What am I getting out of this? Oh, well, I need to do this, this, and this.
Yeah. And sometimes life is about, I'm just giving, you know. I'm in life.
And trust that you can replenish yourself in ways that, you know, sure, you can ask for help and it's important, but it's also important to be in a place where you know you can fill yourself up.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah.
You mean you get it from yourself and not from somebody else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boy, that'd be a good way to go around. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The kingdom is within.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Is that new to y'all?
Not exactly. No. Not exactly. So, you know, again, not saying that everybody that you meet that is kind mm-hmm. is like this. But right. again, you know, just be wary of someone who's always, you know, always putting on the Eddie Haskell face. And, you know.
It's pretty easy to spot after a while.
After a while, yeah.
Well, yeah.
It kind of emerges.
It comes from a place of being able to trust your own insights, too. Like, this doesn't feel
it doesn't feel right.
Yeah. yeah.
Quite authentic. Yeah. yeah.
Another category is people who bring you down and they don't even realize it.
Why do people do that, David?
Well, likely because it's some internal, I don't feel good about myself.
I think that might.
That would be my hypothesis.
Vampires are real, guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't suck our blood. That kind of vampire.
They suck our joy.
They suck our energy and our joy.
I mean, likely the way that most of the time, the way that we interact with others is a reflection of how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
And how we treat ourselves on the inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if somebody is constantly putting you down, right, and maybe even doesn't even realize it, you know, that might be something to bring to their attention.
Yeah.
So that they can look at themselves and see where they are putting themselves down.
That'd
Where's their inner self-critic?
Is there somebody out there in your life who always plays the quote-unquote devil's advocate to almost every one of your dreams? You know?
Yeah.
I might have encountered a person or two on the life's journey.
I bet we all have. You know, and a lot of times people don't even realize it, but they're chipping away at our confidence. I mean, some people I don't know, for whatever reason, they are full of questions. they ask and they ask and they ask and they ask. And sometimes that can be, I don't know if anybody has that type of individual, have encountered that type of individual, but that individual can be exhausting, just absolutely exhausting. And it's like, you know, okay, well, why do you expect, you obviously don't have the answer to this. Why do you expect that I have an answer to everything that you have a question for? You know?
Yeah.
And what about self-responsibility? What about, hey, I really want to know about that. I think I'll dive into that. Right. I think I'll go take a course. I think I'll go look it up on the, you know, and do some research at the library or on the internet. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong. In fact, it's important to stay curious.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
There's a difference between curiosity and cynicism.
Okay, talk about
well,
that.
Well, cynicism, bit. You could say, is a form of devil's advocacy.
Right.
In that, you know, you tend to look for, you always pick the what could go wrong here,
yeah,
or why it is wrong, instead right. of looking what's right about it.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
And there are skeptics that, you know, they're not, you know, horrible people. It's a little bit of skepticism is a good thing. But
sure.
You that's said, the way you live your life and everything, you're just, you know.
You said the primitive. Word. You said the word a moment ago, and the word is balance.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, thank you.
It's
saved myself.
It's very good. It's very good to be able to ask yourself or someone that you care about the important questions. Have you thought about this or have you thought about that? Mm-hmm. But at the same time,
yeah, that's pretty healthy, actually.
At the same time, balance that with you know a pretty healthy dose of encouragement.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be good.
Yeah. We're talking about types of folks, kind of archetypes, if you will, that Carl Jung said, yeah, may want to stay away from these types of individuals. Talking about that today here on Strategies for Living with Lauren and Jay. And we'll be back. More to come, more to learn. Stay with us. Welcome back in to Strategies for Living with Lauren Leon McMillan, Jay Merle, David McMillan, talking today, discussing around the round. We actually do discuss around a round table, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Quite literally, yeah.
Quite
yeah.
round.
It's a, yeah.
Discussing, where's Arthur?
Yeah. Yeah well, we're actually, he's down here.
Oh, there he is.
He's down here sleeping oh. with his bone on. He's laying on his bone to protect it from
yeah.
Jay.
Yeah. yeah.
Our producer
the
pocket.
The sword and the yeah. bone. Yeah. The
pocket's
the stone,
producer.
Huh?
Yep.
So we're talking about Carl Jung and his, admonition to all of us about making the unconscious conscious. If we don't work at that, then things will happen to us and we'll label it as fate, as opposed to saying, you know, what's
what
my level yeah. of responsibility?
What's my part in this?
What's my part in this? Yeah. And you know, here's the deal. We always, if we're participating in whatever, we always have some part in it.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there are situations, I mean, I'm thinking about children, there are situations that we are in where we kind of, for a period of time, we may not have a whole lot of choice, right? But we have a choice as life moves forward.
Right.
We have a choice of whether to stay in certain relationships or distance ourselves from those relationships. We certainly have a choice about forgiveness
yes.
and forgiving those relationships. Mm-hmm. Remember that forgiving a relationship doesn't mean that you still hang out with them.
No.
Forgiving.
It doesn't even mean that it was okay.
And no, it doesn't mean that at all. Yeah. It means that I want to put it down for me. It's healthy for me mm-hmm. to go ahead and put this down, right?
Right.
So another area are people who act morally superior to you.
I like
and these people, a lot of times, people act morally superior to us in order to control us. Mm-hmm. And you, we've all met.
And it's a defense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
How dare you question me? Don't you know?
Yep. Many times these people are so unsure on the inside,
right?
But they've got this,
And that's the protector that's showing.
Right.
The protector that's showing is there's a right way, and I am so sure about it. Then that's protecting them from the part of themselves that is so unsure and so uncertain.
So a lot of times, what you will find is these people will weaponize guilt, mm-hmm. and they weaponize guilt to get their way. Right?
Okay.
These people don't apologize. Let me educate you. I'm not going to, there's no apology, but let me tell you, let me instruct you. Let me educate you about what you don't know. There's the moral superiority, right?
Right. This one can actually be even more, I think, a little more insidious than that even, and I've seen it not just in religious circles, but in even people who claim to be spiritual, but not religious.
Right.
This can creep up, and I kind of call it, it's a form of spiritual ego.
Mm.
That's kind of the way I've decided to look at it. And it can creep
up. Spiritual ego, huh?
Yeah. Because
how are you going to learn anything if you think you already got all the answers?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Great point, Jay. You know?
I know everything. The science is settled. Oh, what a stupid thing to say.
Right.
Science is never settled.
That's the nature of science.
Right. Yes. And if you come from a place that science has already settled this, well, you probably then need to go back and reinform yourself about what science is supposed to be. Yeah, what it's supposed to be. And because if I come at it from science has settled that, then I've made science a religion, and mm-hmm. that's not,
That won't work.
That won't work.
You're seeing a lot of this in political debate, and it's designed to shut down discussion.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Don't bother me with any of your arguments because you're wrong and I'm right, and there's no point in. And so that's all. That's really unfortunate.
Yep.
It's hard to have conversation with folks like that.
Well, it's not possible.
Yeah, right.
And so people put up walls.
Yeah, these folks aren't seeking better behavior. They're just seeking obedience,
and rules, structure, and rules.
And so you make me uncomfortable when you don't follow
my rules. Yeah.
Right? And so there's the moral superiority. And then last but not least, there are people who try to control all areas of your life. Mm. You may not even notice this at first, because these people seem very helpful. They seem very interested, but the advice that they give oftentimes become expectations, right?
Mm.
So they judge what you wear, what you eat, what you post, who you talk to, who your friends are. They ask for updates just to be in the loop, if you will.
Right. It's stifling.
They say they want to help make better decisions.
This is kind of a cousin to that moral superiority, isn't it?
Yeah. And with this type of individual, you end up not feeling safer with them. You end up feeling smaller with them, right?
Sure.
Because you get into this almost making them a pseudo parent, if you will.
Right, right.
And making yourself a pseudo child.
Yeah, if you don't fit in that box, in the box that the pseudo parent has decided you need to belong in, well, then, who are you and what are you doing?
Jung was a big believer in facing our shadow side, and that was imperative if we were to achieve genuine growth and development.
Mm-hmm.
In our world today, guys, we want the easy way, right? Give me the pill. Give me the quick fix. And sometimes that's worrisome.
Yeah.
It leads to its own difficulties, to not face your shadow or your reality or what's going on.
And right.
It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to go away.
Use it as a weapon against others, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing by not facing that is I'm making it, I'm shoving it down further, so I'm making it not more conscious as Jung wanted us to do, but I'm shoving it down, making it actually more unconscious, if you will.
It'll start seeping out that basement.
And when it comes out, it can come out in all kinds of different ways. It can come out.
It's not pretty.
No, no. And that can express emotionally, psychologically, physically, in relationships, and all about. Talking about what Dr. Jung told us to stay away from today, the archetypes, if you will, that he said to stay away from. Talking about that today on Strategies. Be right back. And welcome back. Welcome back into Strategies for Living. Lauren Leon McMillan and Jay Merle, David McMillan here. We have been talking about Carl Jung's warning that we need to work on making the unconscious conscious, because if we don't make the unconscious conscious, if we're not working at that, then things will happen to us and we'll call it fate.
Right.
You know, and we'll probably be looking around to blame a lot of other people in our lives. So, guys, what are the takeaways from our conversation today?
He's pointing at me. Just like I love the Jung quote, you know, you got to make the unconscious conscious, or it'll call. Or you'll call it fate.
Yeah.
And so it's just about taking a look at yourself and coming to awareness. And, you know, if you recognize these traits in other people, do yourself, you know, do your best to protect yourself in whatever way you need. But then also, if you see them in other people, do a quick reflection in yourself.
Yeah. Could this be happening also within me?
Right. Could it be happening within me? And how am I responding to it? Because it might not be that, well, just because I witnessed somebody acting in this moral superior way, that I too have some moral superiority in me. That could be the case.
Yeah.
But it could also be the case that I've got maybe a reflection of an inner child that is seeking someone with moral superiority.
Maybe they're reflecting a darker side of ourselves.
Yeah.
And maybe, so, maybe. Again, you know, in any case, it's an indication of we have work to do.
Yeah. Kingdom is within.
There you go.
Kingdom is within. I like that.
Jay, thank you. Lauren, thank you. Folks, thank you for being a part of Strategies for Living. We do this for you, and we can do it because of our wonderful sponsors, the Robinson Film Center and Azalea Cleaners and Pintail Roofing.
Roof.
And Learning RX and the Balanced Life Wellness Center. And Fertitta's Delicatessen, home of the Godfather, alligator Italian sausage, and some pretty good muffies, too. If today were the last day of your life, you only had one more phone call that you could make, who would you call? What would you say? And why are you waiting? Make the call. For Jay Merle, for Lauren Leon McMillan, I'm David McMillan. See you next time right here on Strategies for Living.